I want you to turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 17, and then just these words, to meet the Lord in the air. To meet the Lord in the air. By the way, before I start the sermon, I do want to announce that on Friday night of this week in Cape May at the Christian Admiral, Senator Strom Thurmond will be our guest speaker in a patriotic rally. He's going to speak on individual freedom. And we're urging everybody to come to this great rally. Not only to hear the senator, when we were in Washington several weeks ago, he came to our rally, as you know, and made a tremendous speech and was given a great ovation. But last year, when we were in our difficulties with the city of Cape May over the Shelton College moving down there, and the city then got an injunction against the college to have it put out of town, while we were talking with the mayor and the members of city council, he said that they didn't want men like Senator Strom Thurmond to be coming to Cape May. He said it to us just openly. And it was very obvious that they were trying to get us out of there so the influences of this kind wouldn't be felt. Well, now that the senator's coming to town, I've invited the mayor to come over and hear him. And I wrote the mayor a letter inviting him to come hear him next Friday night. In fact, I think the mayor's the mayor of the town and the senators from one of our states, they ought to be able to shake hands. But my feeling is that here's a real great senator. He's a wonderful Christian. He's on the board of the Bob Jones University, and he stands for the gospel. And I'd like to invite everybody listening to me to do anything possible to get down to Cape May next Friday night to welcome this senator. Now, we're going to have a bus leave here at 5:45, the parking lot, 5:45, and the cost round trip right down and back will be $2. So if you want to go, please get in touch with our office or let us know on Wednesday night, because we'd like to fill up that bus and any other we can fill up. Now these words of 1 Thessalonians, to meet the Lord in the air. This past week, the American people saw pictures on television and in our newspapers that we had never seen before. In fact, no human being has ever seen them before. And I have here the front page of the New York Times for Wednesday. And I don't know if I've ever seen the New York Times give a front page picture that covers the entire front of the page except the two outside columns. I think maybe when this big dirigible exploded up here at Lakehurst some years ago, they had a big picture then. But this picture shows the astronaut Edward H. White II outside of his space capsule. And it shows the capsule, it shows the astronaut, and then you can see the rim of the Earth and actually see the Earth. The whole picture is against the background of this little earth on which we live. It is indeed a fascinating picture. In fact, they tell us it's in color, and I would very much like to get a color picture of it and frame it myself, just have it to look at. Because what it hasn't brought into my mind as I've looked down on the earth from the vantage point of this astronaut, In the air, 140 miles above the earth, and that's not very far, 140 miles above the earth. But outside of the reach of gravity, weightless in space. And here he is moving at 17,000 miles an hour in orbit around the earth. And just floating, just weightless in space. Utterly fantastic. And yet here it has come to pass In the United States of America, we were the ones who were responsible for sending him up and all that was necessary to gather a picture of this kind and put it on the front pages of our paper. Now, I think I could probably preach 100 sermons on this. I really believe I could. But here's man in space and in the air. Now, the passage which I've quoted from the Bible tonight says that we are going to see the Lord Jesus Christ and we will meet him in the air. And it's in relationship to this teaching of the Bible that I want to point out some of these glorious truths as they're related to this picture also. Now this man is out there in outer space. He's all wrapped up in the necessary equipment to get him there, to keep him there. He has a lifeline back to the capsule so that he gets his oxygen. And he has a means of communication back and forth to the captain of the ship. But beloved, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes again, we are going to be caught into the sky to meet the Lord in the air. We call it the rapture. And then the Lord is going to gather us to himself in the great expanses of the heavens which are above us. And then after a time of tribulation here on the earth, the Son of God is going to be revealed to the world so that even the eyes of the ungodly will see him. And every eye shall see him. Now let's look first at our meeting in the air, and then look second at the world's meeting of the Son of God when he comes in his great revelation. And before I proceed to develop this from the scriptures for you, I want to emphasize, and I must emphasize it constantly, that what I'm giving you tonight is what you and I have believed in the Bible Presbyterian Church of Collingswood, New Jersey, ever since we've been here. It's not something new. We have preached it. I've preached these sermons on the Lord's coming. I've expounded the whole book of Revelation for you through different series of weeks and months. We've dealt with Daniel. I preached through the book of Daniel. Through these years of our ministry together, I've been telling you about the meeting in the skies. I've been telling you the Lord was coming in the clouds and we'd be raptured up there to be with him. And we believed it just as much then as we believe it now, though we didn't have any spacemen out there to indicate that it's possible for somebody to float in space. We have been preaching these marvelous realities because they are in the Bible. And because the Bible is a special revelation from God to us in order that we might know God's will for us. When I looked at this picture, and you can see the curvature of this earth. My, that earth looks small. Here's some clouds in here, here's some clouds over here, and here's the top rim of some mountain range. And I'd like to know what mountain range it is. But as I've gone around this old world and looked down on these mountains, they look pretty big. But when you look at it on the front page of this picture, that's just a little bit bigger than a basketball. That thing's not very big at all. It's a very small piece of substance on which we are now located. And as you look down upon that picture and you see how small it is, just think of the 3 billion human beings moving around on that place like a bunch of ants. Just look at them all over the place. This is this place where you and I are. And over here is India where they've got Hinduism, and over here is Egypt where they've got Mohammedanism, and over here is the United States where they don't have very much of anything right now. Here they are scattered all around the world, and all these different religions and all these different faiths mixed up on this tiny little thing that you can just see the rim of it as this man floats out there in outer space. What a perspective it gives to you, how you look down upon it.
And I think it is an excellent thing that we brought to the place where we can say, here, this little old world is mighty small. It doesn't amount to very much. It's getting smaller and smaller. And we'd better face up to reality while we can, so far as eternity's concerned. And so far as the great expanse of space and time is concerned, as God has created these. And it's time for us, when we see pictures like this, to stop and think about what's going to happen when the Son of God comes back again. As I thought of this text, I'd like to say to you, young lady, you'll never meet Jesus Christ walking down the street. Not on this earth. You'll never meet Jesus Christ flying in an airplane. Not on this earth. You'll never meet Jesus Christ riding in a bus. Not on this earth. Now, it's a fact that you can start out today to travel and you don't know who you're going to run into. In the providences of God, you always run into somebody that you don't want to see. It's the strangest thing, how you bump into the people you wish you could get rid of. But you start walking down the street or go anywhere on the face of this earth, it makes no difference where it is. You may run into all manner of people who are down here, but there's one person you'll never run into on the street. He's Jesus Christ. And the only place you're going to meet Jesus Christ will be at the moment of your death, when you pass out of this life into his presence. You'll see him then. The only place you're going to meet Jesus Christ will be when he comes in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he speaks these mighty words. He will raise the dead. And then those of us who are here and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And our meeting place with Jesus Christ is not on this earth. Our meeting place with Jesus Christ is above the clouds. That's where it is. And so when I look at this picture of this astronaut above the clouds, and you can see the clouds under him, see him out there in outer space, this brings to my mind all that the Bible teaches about that tremendous moment when the Son of God will speak and only his voice will be heard. And only his voice has in it the power. And only Jesus Christ has the key of death and of hell. And when he speaks, we shall be caught yonder into the air to meet the Lord. I preached on this last night down at Cape May, but I developed it on an entirely different basis. But I want to point out to you people that wouldn't we be in quite a situation if when the Lord came, every one of us would have to get in a capsule and get a suit on and get ready to go out there to meet him? Wouldn't we be in quite a fix if you had to put one of these big masks over your head and get your oxygen all fixed up and the rest of the lines of communications connected so you could get ready to leave, and then you have to go down here and get a countdown, 3, 2, 4, 1, 6, or how do you go? You'd get a countdown, and first thing you know, you'd go booming up out there to the sky, and you're going to meet the Lord. Isn't that funny? You folks are paying attention to me. You're actually paying attention. Even these kids are paying attention to me tonight. How'd you like to get one of those capsules? Wouldn't you like to go shooting out there? Yeah. Well, I would too if I could meet the Lord. You just meet the Lord. No, beloved, when this day comes, when he comes to speak these words, we're not going to need capsules. We're not going to need booster rockets. We're not going to need Cape Canaveral or Cape Kennedy. We're not going to need anything at all. Jesus Christ, by his almighty power, is going to give to us a new body. He's going to take away this tabernacle which is of dust and of the earth. As we have borne the image of the earthly, and that's what we have right now, we shall bear the image of the heavenly. And when he speaks, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead shall be raised, the new body shall be given unto us, and we shall be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now you sit here tonight and you listen to me and you're hearing me explain this for you and give you the fantasy of rising into the skies and meeting the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. And you say, isn't that magnificent?
Isn't that glorious to have that revelation presented to us in the Bible? But beloved, that isn't any more glorious than when the Holy Spirit speaks to your soul and makes you a new creature in Jesus Christ. The almighty power which is manifest in us by faith, whereby we are made new creatures. The old man passes away. We're finished with the world and the flesh and the devil, and we become the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. There's the power that raised Christ from the dead. There's the power that gives to you a new birth. There's the power that will raise us from the dead on the resurrection day. And there's the power that will take us out yonder into outer space to have our rendezvous with Jesus Christ.
I got a great, great joy out of looking at that picture today. I just got such a tremendous thrill. Won't it be wonderful to get up there and just look down on this old earth? Won't it be wonderful to get down there and look down on it? And you know what the Bible says we're going to do when we get up there? We're going to sing a song. We're going to sing two or three songs. I know at least two of them the Bible says we're going to sing. In fact, I think I can find you a third one that we're going to sing when we get up there. We're going to have more songs to sing because we're going to be in the singing mood. Death will be over. Pain will be gone. The miseries of this whole world will have been left behind. And we will have gathered into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me give you at least two of these. No, I'll give you three of these songs that I know we're going to sing. When you turn to 1 Corinthians 15 and you come toward the end of that chapter, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We're not all going to die. And oh, beloved, we're getting so close to the second coming of Christ now. Surely when these things are breaking in the heavens and we're seeing these signs come to pass, surely the day is not very long, because the Lord said he gave the earth to men, but the heavens he reserved to himself. Surely the time is coming very soon when he's going to come. But in this mighty passage he says, I show you a mystery. It's a mystery. You're not all going to die. I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the splitting of an atom, that's the word, in the twinkling of an eye, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. The Lord Jesus Christ is going to descend from heaven. The dead will rise first. We which are alive and remain shall be caught up together to meet them in the air. And this corruptible will put on incorruption. And this mortal which you and I have will put on immortality. So shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Now here's your song. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Won't you love to sing that when you've left it all down here? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The graves of the believers are all empty. The graves of the redeemed have all been opened. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? And then we'll turn and we'll shout back, the sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we meet him in the air, it will be everlasting victory for us, because we will be robed in our resurrection bodies. And so the Lord said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, look up! Look up! The redemption of your bodies draweth nigh! Look up! You may be going up shortly for the meeting in the air with Jesus Christ. You know they've always called Christians crazy? Do you know these modernists come along today and they read 1st and 2nd Thessalonians that I've been reading to you tonight? They say, well, the Christians had the idea in the first century that Jesus was really, actually, physically going to come back, and he'd come in the clouds of heaven. But he didn't come back, so they were mistaken.
And we can't think of Jesus in these terms anymore. And so the ecumenical leaders and the dreamers today, they're not thinking in terms of a meeting in the sky. They're thinking in terms of a great citadel here on this earth, which they're going to build. They're thinking in terms of some great world church, which they're going to use and exploit for their purposes. They're thinking in terms of some sort of great world government they're going to fix up down here. They're not thinking in terms of moving into the skies, where the Son of God is going to come and receive unto himself his bride and his redeemed. Oh, my, we Christians are crazy people. You've got some very strange ideas. Someday you're going to leave. You know, you get a lot of ideas about this. You wonder sometimes. When we get up there and we get our new bodies on, we don't know exactly how we're going to be, of course. We don't know how the Lord's going to fix it all up. That it's going to please him. I take these little boys. Take these little girls. Take my little choir. The Lord came tonight. We'd all go up. I'd be a big man up there. You'd be a little boy. We'd be floating around up there. We don't understand a lot of these questions. They're not fully clear to us. But he's going to take each one of us as it has pleased him. And we're going into the sky to meet the Lord in the air. Now there's one thing I want to point out before I just leave this. I'm going to leave it now. There won't be anybody up in the heavens in this great meeting of which you and I are talking about that hasn't been born again. Won't it be nice to have everybody around just sanctified and glorified with nobody causing any trouble? Wouldn't it be wonderful to have everything just so sweet and lovely? That's what it's going to be up there when we get into this outer space with Jesus Christ. Now I want to leave it for just a minute. And I want to just pass through a little more of the time of the Scriptures. We call it the tribulation down here. But will you turn now to 2 Thessalonians? And in 2 Thessalonians, verse 7, we read, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven." And this is the apocalypse. This is the unveiling. This isn't the rapture. This is when he comes to be unveiled, so every eye will see him and all the nations will see him. "He will come to be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." And all heaven's going to be filled. These airs about us are just going to be filled with hosts and hosts of an innumerable company of the angels that God is going to bring with Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 8. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God." I've been very interested in some of the comments about the exposition that we're making and the plan to get to the moon. And they say we're wasting all manner of money and spending all these billions to get to the moon by 1970. And perhaps we are, from our way of thinking. But our military men are telling us that whoever controls the moon is going to control the earth. And they say it's to our advantage to get there and get control of that moon. Now at this particular point in the Bible, we're told that the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come with the angels in heaven, and there will be flaming fire which will take vengeance upon all them that know not God, that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord. Now here's the Lord coming in heaven. They'll see him. He's going to rain his fire in judgment upon the earth. And then those who obey not him will be destroyed with everlasting separation and destruction from his presence. Beloved, I preach to you people tonight this awful judgment of Almighty God. And the place and the only place to escape that judgment of the Almighty God is right here and now, as the gospel of Jesus Christ is being preached, that you might receive it
that you might believe it, that you might be born again, that you might receive that faith which Christ will give you to serve him and to be his child. The time to deal with this question is now. Today is the day of opportunity while the doors are still open and the invitation is still valid and the call goes forth in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to believe and to turn from sin. Now notice verse 10. When he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed. Now Paul is saying that because when he preached to them, they believed. And since they received the gospel that he preached to them in Thessalonica, and they received it and they believed it, now he says, when the Lord comes back in his mighty revelation, he's going to be glorified in his saints. In that great hour. Let me ask you something. How do you think it's going to look down here on the earth when we're all up in the air? Just how do you think it's going to look down here for a while? When every last one of us are up there, that's where we're going to meet him. Everybody's going to be up there that knows the Lord. How's it going to look down here? Just think when the rapture comes and we're caught into the sky and the old world goes on and some of these liberals and apostates say, well, I don't know where they went, but I'm certainly glad they're not on the radio anymore. They've left here, so they're not around anymore. And they'll be so happy that we've gotten away from here, they'll have peace. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if the Lord didn't take us some of these days and solve their radio problems for them. I wouldn't be at all surprised if that doesn't happen in the good providence of God, because we're getting very, very close to this moment when that power in Christ is going to surge itself into us, and quicker than you can split an atom, we'll be there in his presence. And then after these years of tribulation, he comes to be glorified in his saints. And oh, how we'll praise him, and we'll sing that second great song, the song of Moses and the Lamb, the song of deliverance from Egypt, the song of crossing the Red Sea, these songs that Moses didn't write, these myths that they tell us about today. We'll be singing them in the clouds, and we'll be glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, and he'll be glorified in us. And then you talked about that third psalm. I said I'd give it to you, and I don't think there's any question about it. When you find it over there in the fifth chapter of Revelation, the saints have been gathered out, the resurrection's taken place, and we're up there with the Lord, and what are we singing? Thou art worthy, we're speaking of the Lamb, to take the book and to open the seals thereof, because thou wast slain, and you've redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every nation and kindred and people and tongue. And here we're singing in heaven, death has no sting, the grave has lost its victory. Here's the song of Moses and the crossing of the Red Sea. And here's the great cry of the redeemed to the Lamb, that he's worthy to open the book and to break the seals thereof. Oh, beloved, there's been something of this glory in the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ down on this little earth through these centuries, as men who believed, as men who knew that God had spoken, as men who knew that God had sent his Son to deal with our sins, as men knew on this earth that they had a life that was lost and it could only be redeemed by God, that we were without God, without Christ, without hope in this world. And only when we came and believed that on the cruel, cursed tree of Calvary, the Lamb of God shed his blood for us, we could be justified, we could be delivered, we could become numbered among the saints of God. This whole world is going to be dealt with by Jesus Christ. I looked at that picture this week and I said, Lord, how long is it going to be? How long, O Lord, how long is it going to be before we'll be up there? And thank God Uncle Sam won't send me up there. The Lord will send me up there. Isn't it wonderful? Nobody's tax dollars are going to get you and me up there. It'll be the power of heaven that gives us this mighty meeting in the air. Beloved, if we're going to be Christians, which we are, let's believe everything the Bible tells us. If we're going to accept Jesus Christ and believe that He died for our sins, let's take everything that goes with it. And if we're going to believe and be born again, then let's separate from the world. Let's be done with this filth. Let's turn away from sin. Let's love righteousness. Let's be a peculiar people. Let them do what they want to. Let's go ahead and be faithful witnesses to Jesus Christ, listening for the shout, waiting for the rapture, and anticipating that day when that blessed hope which is in our hearts will become a present reality. An ungodly man looks at this picture and says, "So what? I'll never get up there." An ungodly man looks at that picture and says, "What a waste of money." Well, maybe it is, so far as this whole world is concerned. An ungodly man looks at that and says, "Well, they got a preacher over there in college who's going to preach on the thing. What can he see in it?" Well, I didn't see anything in it, but the Bible showed me a great many things about it. And we're going to meet the Lord in the air. Don't expect to meet Him on Main Street. Don't expect to meet Him down at Cape May, walking around. He's not down there. You won't find Him there, that way. The only place you'll see the Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, in His glorified body, will be up there in that sky when He speaks the word. And we'll all go up there together. And what a meeting it's going to be. But if there's anybody here tonight, anybody who listened to this broadcast ministry that doesn't believe in Jesus Christ, you'll not be there, my friend. You'll be left down here. And frankly, if I were you, I'd try to get out of this place as soon as I can. And if Jesus Christ is my best way to get out of it, I better look to Him to help me get out of it. Because as this world moves on the way it is now, the uncertainty and the disasters and the tyranny and the darkness as it settles down upon mankind is going to be such that men are going to cry for the mountains to fall on them. And we're going to be with Jesus Christ, our Redeemer and our Savior. Let us pray. Our Father, we do thank Thee that Thou hast told us that we're going to meet the Lord in the air, and that we will ever be with the Lord. Father, we stand amazed in the presence of Jesus Christ. He seems more glorious to us every day. He has more power in Him as we come to understand this power. And oh, how we thank Thee that we belong to Jesus Christ. We believe, and therefore we wait and we watch, and we would be sober. For Christ's sake, amen. Well, let's turn now. Do you know that song that's going to be a meeting in the air? Do we have in our book? Not too bad. Let me have another one on the Lord's coming, a good one on the second coming. What is it? Christ returns before. No, let's go on to this one. Christ returneth. 154. Let's stand and sing it. 154.
Thank you.
like this, and you've heard the word so clearly. I see some strangers here tonight. I see some visitors here. And I'm wondering if there's anyone tonight who wants to accept Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as your personal Savior. We'll give you the opportunity tonight to do so. You'll never be...